Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Donna W. and I am a recovered compulsive overeater in Marin County, California. Today is Thursday, December 29th, and we are reading from the Big Book. And we are at page 52, the second paragraph, starting with, we had to ask ourselves, and finishing with, of course it was, just one paragraph only. And I want to thank Team Thursday for December of 22. We've got Joanne L. on the 12 steps, Becca R. for the 12 traditions, Stephanie L. for the Big Book, reading the Big Book passage, Leslie M., Vision for You, Jody E., newcomer greeter, and Leslie W. for announcements. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive eating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive eating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. All right, so I will now ask Joanne L. to read the 12 steps of OA.
Hi, good morning, Donna. Donna, can you hear me okay?
Absolutely.
Okay, great, because I'm in my car, so. Good morning, everybody. And Donna, thank you for your service. My name is Joanne L. I am from Rhode Island, and I am recovered in Rhode Island. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Ten, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Thought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for the knowledge of His will for us in the power to carry that out. In 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. And I thank you for the service for this month and Happy New Year to all. I pass.
Thank you, Joanne L. Next up, I have Becca R. for the 12 traditions.
Hey, good morning. Becca R. calling in from Kentucky, recovered. This is Overeater, and these are the 12 traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA may not never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all of these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for letting me be of service, and I apologize for the interruption.
Thank you, Becca. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive eaters only. Our abstinence requirements for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirements for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We're sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book on page 52, the second paragraph, starting with, we had to ask ourselves, and finishing with, of course it was. I now ask Stephanie L. to begin reading.
Good morning, everyone. Stephanie L., recovered compulsive overeater here in Southern California. We had to ask
Stephanie,
ourselves.
Stephanie, your line's a little crackly. Is there any way, anything you can do to make it just a little better?
Oh, it's crackly. Let me see. Let me take my earbuds out. How's that? Is that any better?
I think a little better. Let's try it.
Okay. Sorry, everyone. I'll do my best here. We had to ask ourselves why we shouldn't apply to our human problems the same readiness to change our point of view. We were having trouble with personal relationships. We couldn't control our emotional natures. We were prey to misery and depression. We couldn't make a living. We had a feeling of uselessness. We were full of fear. We were unhappy. We couldn't seem to be of real help to other people. Was not a basic solution of these bedevilments more important than whether we should see newsreels of lunar flight? Of course it was. And this is like, it should say Stephanie was having trouble with personal relationships. Stephanie couldn't control her emotional nature. I mean, this is me in the disease, right? But it's also me at times being a recovered woman. You know, I thought that recovery meant that everything was going to be rainbows and unicorns. And, you know, I wouldn't struggle with, like, daily life or human emotions. And I'll tell you, in the disease, these were the things that were my excuses to eat. Personal relationships, couldn't control my emotional. It was like everything was a reason to pick up the food, right? That restlessness,
Stephanie,
irritability.
Stephanie, I'm sorry to interrupt. This is Leslie W. We are getting so much crackling from your line. Is there any way you could readjust your mic, perhaps?
I'm on my phone, unfortunately. I don't have, I could try and dial back in, but that would take extra time. I don't know if the backup reader maybe could take over. I'm so sorry, everyone. I don't know what's happening with my phone line.
Donna, are you getting that crackling as well?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not quite sure why I'm on my cell phone. Could the backup reader maybe take over?
Becca, you want to jump in?
Or I could try hanging up and dialing back in.
No, I think we'll just, if Becca's available or if somebody else wants to just jump in.
Yeah, Becca, recovered compulsive overeater, calling
great.
In from
thank
Kentucky.
You.
Hey, everybody.
Thank you, Stephanie.
Thanks for the meeting. Great reading. As always, I am brought back to my knees of surrender and that I cannot do this on my own willpower, and there was no availability elsewhere. I searched everywhere. Somehow the surrender to a higher power, which I am consistently and constantly looking for in evidence in my life, I am relieved of this compulsion to kill myself with food. It's so interesting to me how the longer I stay recovered, the more layers of that proverbial onion are peeled, and the more awareness comes up, and I'm able to just continue to grow, and that's all a gift of God. So I'm excited to see what other people have to share on this topic. Thanks.
Thank you, Becca R. and Stephanie L. Appreciate you both today for jumping in. All right, so now we will, let me just stop my, excuse me. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order to, that others might share their experience too. So if you shared on Tuesday or Wednesday, please refrain from sharing today. And so we'll open the lines, and if you could please speak slowly and clearly. Thank you. I'll take names. Give me your name, first name.
This is Elaine from Elaine G from New York.
Ginger C.
Elaine.
Roz
Ginger
G.
C. Wendy.
Sylvia F. Fox. Sylvia F.
I got Wendy. What was your last first?
B.
Wendy B. Okay. There's another one.
Sam M.
Sam N.
Elaine G from New York.
Elaine, I have you.
Did you get Sylvia F?
Sylvia? Okay, let's stop there. I have Elaine G, Ginger C, Raj G, Wendy B, Sam N, and Sylvia F. Is that correct?
And can you remind us of the reading number?
Yes, we're on page 52, second paragraph. We had to ask ourselves, one paragraph only. All right, go ahead, Elaine G.
This is Elaine from New York. Can you hear me?
Yes, please go ahead.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, I feel like this paragraph just jumped out of me today because this is what I'm going through. I mean, emotionally, I'm going through a lot. And my mom died December 24th. And my friend from OA, her sister that had cancer, very young, in the 60s, died of cancer yesterday morning. Anyway, if it wasn't for OA, I wouldn't even be getting through this. I mean, like, all the support, when I wasn't abstinent, I couldn't deal with anything. Now I'm dealing with these two things. I went down to see my mom in Florida, the funeral. I went, got through going 21 hours in the car to Florida because there were no flights to go to Florida. But I'm getting through it with all the support, God. I'm getting through this. And what's most important to me is staying abstinent. When I stay abstinent, I can get through anything. Not abstinent, I don't seem to get through anything too good. Not too good at all, you know? And I have to remember when I, before I came in the program, all I did was eat over everything. Now, I don't want to eat over this. What I want to do is pray, go to a lot of meetings. I plan on making 3 meetings today, made 3 meetings yesterday, staying, hanging real close to the program. And, you know, like life happens, you know, sometimes it happens in threes. And then there's another friend of mine, her mother's dying, you know. And I said to myself, boy, this really puts a damper on Christmas. Well, what are you going to do? This happened, you know. What am I going to do with it? My son was abusive, and I have to stay away from him because he's an alcoholic. You know, this happens. But I'm going to get through this. I'm going to get through this. I mean, this one woman this morning from OA called me. She heard me on the 6 o'clock meeting, And she called me to pray for me and everything over the fact that I dealt, you know, talked about my mom dying, you know. This is like a beautiful program, such a beautiful program. And I am so grateful every moment of my life for this meeting. And of course, OA. I mean, a vision for you. Thank you.
Thank you, Elaine G. Next up is Ginger C, followed by Roz G.
Good morning. Thank you, moderator, for your service and everyone who's done service this morning for the meeting. I am Ginger C., a real compulsive overeater in Colorado. And I love this. Why, or we had to ask ourselves, why we shouldn't apply to our human problems this same readiness to change our point of view. Like, life is a shit show. I know three things. I'm restless. I'm irritable. I'm discontent. I am never satisfied. Life is not working. And it sucks so bad, I'm going to go eat a chocolate cake. And that has been my message in OA, this revolving door of relapse. And again, thank God for every beautiful bite. And I will still say that today because this pain of the past year and almost a half of relapse, I finally have been broken and brought to a place I was never brought to in OA before, where I am so clean and clear with the food. I am looking at labels. I am looking at ingredients. I am seeing what I am ingesting, because if anything comes in, it's going to take me out, and I can't afford one more bite. If I don't make it this time, I don't know if I'll ever get back. And that's the sad reality with relapse. You think it's okay. You dismiss it. It's not that big of a deal. I'm hungry. I need to eat it. And then you start eating it, and then you go into these other foods that are allergic, and you can't stop. And you want to get back, but you can't. So thank God for these directions. Of course, I'm going to apply everything and anything. My life, this is deadly. This is my life. And so I get to apply these 164. And then the gift, the miracle, this is why we go quickly. 52, you're in hell in the bedevilment. 31 pages later, you're back at the 83. If we are painstaking about this phase of our development, we will be amazed before we're halfway through. You get to start feeling the promises. And that's what we're all after. That's what God wants us to be, is happy, joyous, and free in our skin, no matter what happens on life's terms. Stay in it. Don't eat over it. Go through it. And most importantly, grow. Because this program is grow up or die. And I'm so grateful that I am back another day, only because of God's grace. And I pray that you all stay as well. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Ginger C. Welcome back. Roz G is next, followed by Wendy B.
Good morning. Thanks, everybody, for your shares. My name's Roz, and I made sure that I didn't share too many days in a row. So thank you. I want to just go through each sentence and talk about what it was like and what it's like today in 3 minutes. So I was having trouble with personal relationships. I hated my sister. I mean, I was jealous and envious of her most of my life. I loved, hated her. So I don't want to say that I didn't have a relationship with her, but I hated that she was the firstborn and that she had it all together and I didn't, and just couldn't stand both of them. And it was all me, myself, and I. Today, I have a wonderful relationship with my sister. I'm not jealous of her. I'm happy for her, both of my sisters, because I had to look at my selfishness and self-centeredness and live my own life. I couldn't control my emotional nature. I've had to seek outside help for all of that. And with the step work and 10 steps, I do control my emotions. Well, God controls them. I was a prey to misery and depression. Gosh, before program, I was miserable, eating, living in American standard poverty, didn't have any, you know, fun in my life. Today, I go on vacations. I'm a master gardener and volunteer at farmers markets. I do work with volunteer work, you know, as a servant in OA. I have friends, I have dogs, I have a bike. I have a good balance of fun and because I'm outdoors and getting sunshine, you know, I don't have the depression that I used to have. I couldn't make a living. I was on welfare at one time in my life. I'm really grateful I was, but I was poor. Today, I have a wonderful income. I have a salary. I work a program for that. Uselessness, and that came with being in poverty and just, you know, living off the government. And today, I give. You know, I give to program. I give to church. I give to homeless people, whatever I can do to be a giver. Of course, I felt useless because I wasn't able to help. Today I feel useful in every area of my life. I was full of fear. I lived life on fear. I got married because I thought nobody was going to ever love me. And that was my reason. Today I'm not going to get married unless I'm ready. I'd rather be single and happy than married and miserable. Right. I'm happy today. Thank you. And I'm helpful by sponsoring every day. So thank you, and I pass. Happy New Year, people.
Thank you, Raj G. Next up is Wendy B., followed by Sam N. Wendy?
This is Wendy B.
This
is Wendy B., recovered in Arizona. And what's speaking to me this morning is this line, we couldn't seem to be a real help to other people. And, you know, I have a history, you know, of so many instances where I thought I was helping my daughter, you know, by presumptuously cleaning or organizing in her home, you know, without asking her permission. And I just saw what I perceived as a need, you know, and took the initiative to meet that need. And, you know, I was trying to be helpful because, you know, obviously she needed my help. You know, a lot of things didn't meet my standards of cleanliness. And, you know, I'm grateful she was able to be honest with me and tell me I was crossing her boundaries, you know, and stepping on her toes, you know. And it's her home to keep as she sees fit, not mine. You know, she didn't appreciate my so-called help, you know. So that was my example of not being of real help to someone, you know. So what does it look like, you know, to be of real help today? And so I ask first, you know, if she wants my help, you know, what does she want that help to look like? You know, if she asks me to take care of the dog, you know, while she's gone, you know, I walk him, I feed him, I pick up the dog poo, you know, but I don't overstep, you know, and decide to clean her fridge or pull her weeds. And, you know, I no longer make comments about, you know, what's dirty, you know, and needs cleaning. You know, it's not my business. You know, I don't try to pry into her personal affairs or make critical comments about her choices. You know, I allow her the dignity to be an adult, you know, and run her own life, you know, how she sees fit, you know. And if she does want to share, you know, personal information with me, I'm a good listener, you know, and I don't give her advice unless she asks. So to me, being of real help is not doing what I think, you know, they need, you know, but doing what they think they need. And thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Wendy B. Next up is Sam N., followed by Sylvia F.
Oh, good morning. This is Sam M., actually, as in Matt. But that's okay.
Thank
it's hard
you,
to hear. No problem. No problem. Good morning, everybody. I'm Sam calling from Long Island, New York. I typically don't share on the Vision Line. This is only my second time sharing, but I felt kind of a calling to kind of just unmute myself and talk today. I'm returning back to program after a really rough Christmas with a relapse. So I'm back. And I'm here, and I'm feeling good about being back. And as far as where we're at today, yeah, it's something that I actively am living through. I'm someone that works in the helping profession, And I'm someone that takes on a role of being the fixer to everyone in my life. I put that on myself, though. And every single day, what I'm learning through doing this program is how I need to give it up. I need to give it all up. I need to surrender. And I've often been talking with my sponsor about how I tend to operate from a place of just complete fear. When you've gone through so much trauma and heartbreak in your life, like I have, and I'm sure so many of you have, it's so hard to operate in a new way when you've been acting one way for such a long time. And that's what we're doing here. We're learning. And that's something that I didn't think I had to do anymore of. I know everything, and I don't know crap. It's okay, but I have to be open. I have to learn. I have to know that things aren't going to always go my way. I'm also planning my wedding in April. And being where I'm from, the culture is to have a big wedding and to go absolutely crazy. And there's a lot of things I'm recognizing are out of my control. And that's okay. And being a bride in OA is quite the interesting concept. On top of that is family drama. And you know what? I have to give it up. I can only do what I can do. I'm learning how to be a better partner to my fiance, be a better friend, a better daughter, a better sister. And I do that by coming to program. I don't want to always get up and come on these vision meetings. I don't always want to do my Amazon Fresh deliveries and order my abstinent food. But if I don't, I am a psychopath. And that's okay. So thank you all for listening. I'm wishing you all a happy new year, and I'll pass.
Thank you, Sam M., and good luck with wedding planning. And before Sylvia F., just want to remind everyone, we're on page 52, the second paragraph, starting with, we had to ask ourselves, and finishing with, of course it was. Go ahead, Sylvia F., and then after Sylvia, we'll open up the lines for more shares.
Good morning, fellows. This is Sylvia F. calling in from Portland, Oregon. I'm very grateful to be with all of you this morning. This paragraph is so representative of how I came into program. And it says, we were having trouble with personal relationships, couldn't control our emotional natures. We were prey to misery and depression. I could make a living. Even though I was very successful in my career, I still had a feeling of uselessness. I was always full of fear and anxiety, and I was unhappy. I didn't understand it. And we couldn't seem to be of real help to other people because I was too helpful because I wanted to fix everybody else because I didn't think I needed to be fixed. When I came into program in 2005, I was morbidly obese, but I came in because I couldn't stand being me. I wanted to run out of my body. I couldn't be me anymore. I don't know how else to explain it. And so I came in ready to do whatever I needed to do. I knew nothing about OA. I thought maybe I was joining a cult. I didn't tell anyone I was going to the first meeting, which usually I spread everything around about my life. And what it did, when I got in, the losing weight, getting abstinent was important. Losing weight was an outcome, but it was not the goal. The goal was being able to live with myself and live with others, and that has happened. I have an amazing relationship with my birth family with boundaries. I have a good relationship with my grown children. One of them just moved within a couple of houses of us when we moved to Oregon from California. They decided to move up too, which is just a miracle. I understand boundaries more with other people. And when I am out of sync with who God would intend me to be, I am trying to fix others. I have judgment. I am perpetual motion. And I have to stop and get quiet because it is my dissatisfaction with the world as it is. And thank God I can see that food is not the answer. It was the answer originally, and then it was out of control. And I'm back 1 year now from a relapse that I was out for about 6 months. And I just wanted to share that that's how I came in, is like having trouble with personal relationships. I was a wreck at work. I don't know the amends that I could ever make there, but I would be willing. And in closing, I would say that if you're new on the line and you're hearing us talking about, you know, this emotional stuff and our relationships with people, if that isn't straight, if that isn't working, then I go into food. So if I'm not talking about food, that's great. Thank you. If I'm not talking about food, that's great. I'm talking about the other stuff that takes me into food. And with that, I pass.
All right. Thank you, Sylvia F. So now I'll open up the line for probably about another five to six shares who would like to share today. And remember,
Shanna, Celine W.
or Wednesday, please refrain from sharing today. Say that again.
Kathleen W.
Lorraine W.
And then here, Kathleen W. and Lorraine W. And then
there's here. Shanna C.
Shanna C.
W.
Did you get Danielle W.?
I did not. Thank you.
Thank you.
Marilee W.
Elena C.
So before Elena, there were a couple of folks, and then Elena, I'll put you as a, if you have time.
Marilee W.
Marilee W.
Yes, thank you.
Great. Okay, and there's one other one.
Deborah G.
Deborah G. Okay, so that's a seven folks. So just if we can keep your shares on the shorter side, of Kathleen W., Lorraine W., Shanna C., Danielle W., Marilee W., Deborah G., and Elena C. I hope I got all that right. Please go ahead, Kathleen W.
Good morning, family. So great to hear the shares today. I love this paragraph. There's so many that I love, but this one I can really relate to. It's the idea starts out with, you know, in our age, it's characterized with, you know, discarding old ideas for the new. And since I came into recovery in an OA, it started in another program, my recovery. And I've been growing along spiritual lines for 28 years. And it seems like God has brought me from one victory over one obsession and addiction to another. That in OA, it's been the most difficult for me. To discard old ideas for new regarding my eating habits and what foods are toxic and what's not. But this is something that, you know, God's brought me to this program. And so having these problems, I gradually through the years began to gain emotional stability. But when I've been in OA since 2016. For the first 10 years, there was some spiritual work done in my life, and I gained some spiritual stability, and I had some abstinence. But God brought me deeper through Vision for You in 2020. And I was still having, you know, problems with my relationships, especially with my husband. Didn't know what to do about that all the time, always having anger flare-ups, emotional, you know, instability was still there. But as I began to identify the foods and began to lay them down, you know, and I still don't understand the connection between the food and my spiritual condition, but, I just did what I was told to do. I wanted a new experience. I wanted an open mind. And God provided that experience through a new sponsor and vision. And I'll tell you today, my relationship with my husband has changed completely as I began to follow the things that were suggested in this program, especially in Vision for You. And there's been an infusion of sweetness in my relationship with my husband, and you know, we both talk about it. You know, I was selfish even, you know, in the years in OA, and now I'm willing to help others. I give my time to my day, and I'm so grateful for the change that I see in myself. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Kathleen W. Next up is Lorraine W. And everyone, please remember to share where you're calling from.
Hi, this is Lorraine W. from Massachusetts. And this paragraph resonated so strongly with me that I had to reread this chapter, We Agnostics, because I felt as though this chapter isn't really meant for me until I read this paragraph and said, oh, my God, I just didn't realize all the issues I had. And I had every one of them at some point in my life. And only because I was so much into the food, the fear, the doubt, and insecurity. And my sponsor, when going through this with me, my step sponsor, she said to me, now read the promises. This is the answer. This is the solution. This is what you will gain by accepting these problems and working with God and working the steps, you will get there. And I had to literally listen to other people and how they process the steps as well as myself. Listening to myself sometimes is very difficult. And at times, I still get angry with my husband because I'm taking out my own frustration of what I'm going through. And this has happened to me most recently. I was in a terrible auto accident at the end of September, and the progress has been sometimes remarkable and other times slow. And I had to be really accepting that God needed me to slow down. Just slow down and listen and don't react. Act in the program manner, but don't react to people just because I'm frustrated. You know, give it up to God. Say, all right, you've got me slowing down. You've got this happening. Please, God, help me through this. And only through God, I know, I'll get back what I need to. And program has really showed me how much of a blessing this has all been to my life. So I pass on that. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Lorraine W. Next up is Shanna C., followed by Danielle W.
Good morning. This is Shanna C. from Tennessee. One thing that really jumped out at me, I'm sorry, this is Shanna C. from Tennessee, grateful recovered compulsive overeater. And I want to thank everyone who shared. I want to thank you for your service. And being on this meeting today. And one thing that jumps out at me is, especially if you're new, maybe this may help someone, but it helped me, is we had to ask ourselves why we shouldn't apply to our human problems the same readiness to change our point of view. Well, if I really think about it, and I think about how many different types of diets that I switch to, how many different environments that I switch to, avoiding different people, just whatever it is to try to fix my problem. I had that willingness to change my mind. Well, that didn't work, so I'll try this. That didn't work, so I'll try that. Blah, 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 whatever. See, I've been doing that my whole life. But all of a sudden, when I get to the idea of reliance upon a higher power, all of a sudden, I'm not willing to change my mind anymore. I don't have the faith. I can't figure out the God thing. Yada, yada. It's so silly. I have the capacity for faith. I had been putting my faith in everything else but God up until this point. So what it's saying here is, why shouldn't we had to ask ourselves, why shouldn't we apply to our human problems the same readiness to change our point of view? Well, that's what these steps are about. The things that's keeping me from changing my point of view are the things that's blocking me off from the power to keep me abstinent. So the cool thing about it is all I got to do is be willing to believe and be willing to change my mind, be willing to believe this program can work for me, willing to believe that there is a power greater than me, not have to have it figured out. I just have to believe, be willing to believe that there is one. And it's, and be, that's enough for, to give me enough power to take some action and go through the rest of these steps. In step three, giving my will and life, okay, I'm willing to go through the rest of the steps, be willing to follow that food plan if that's the, you know, what you got to do. Do it, put the food down, you know, easier said than done, I know. But if I'm desperate enough, I'm willing to do it and then go through the rest of the steps and have that entire psychic change that will keep me abstinent if I do it a day at a time, continuing in these directions. That's it. It's way simpler than what my mind likes to make it, because I'm so used to living by how I feel rather than what works. If that makes sense. Anyway, thanks to everybody for allowing me to share. I hope you all have a wonderful day, and that's all I have.
Thank you, Shanna C. Next up is Danielle W., followed by Mary Lee W.
Good morning. This is Danielle W. from Southern California, gratefully recovered and working this program every day. You know, when I first came into OA, I really thought this was I had a food problem. And I had a problem with my relationship to food. And if I could do the steps, I could figure out how to abstain from foods that were causing problems in my life. And that's about all I really saw. Because delusion is part of my belief. You know, I really thought everything else was working out splendidly. And when I finally read this paragraph, it was jaw-dropping for me because it was in black and white, and I could see how emotionally sick I was. And, you know, often in this program we ask ourselves, you know, is your life working? You know, where is your life not working? And as I read these bedevilments, I could see so clearly, possibly for the first time, how many areas of my life really were not working. And that really made my disease bigger and more dire, which was a gift. Because I had to really ask myself, it wasn't about, you know, not eating that cookie anymore. It was about, do I want to live like this another day? You know, do I want to have problems in every aspect of my life? And the answer was no, I didn't. And I could see it, and I could see myself in the words, and I was ready to surrender at that point because I could see how sick I really was. I'd been trying to manage food for years and years and years, and I didn't see that it was, the food was simply a symptom of a much greater illness. And fortunately, with a lot of work and a lot of recovery and these meetings and amazing sponsorship, you know, every single day I have to show up, and I have to keep myself in fit spiritual condition because otherwise I'll be right back in the development. And I know that now, and I'm grateful. I'm grateful that I had to fall so far before I could, you know, kind of crawl out of that hole. And now I have an amazing life. It still has problems. I still struggle, but I work a program that lets me live, you know, happy, joyous, and free. And I can look at these bedevilments, and I can see how much I've changed in my life as a result of the program. With that, I'll pause.
Thank you, Danielle W. Next up is Mary Lee W.
Hi, it's Mary Lee. Did you call me?
Yes.
Sorry.
Go ahead.
Thank you. I'm Mary Lee W., and I'm recovered compulsive overeater in Colorado as well as restrictor. This paragraph also really jumped out to me this morning, and, you know, I came into OA, and I was in two other fellowships that were very strong in the big book, at least with where I was at and what I was doing, and I didn't understand why. Well, my mind kept telling me it's just food. It's not really a problem. Like, I'm really still feel close to God or my higher power. But every day I would swear to myself that I wasn't going to overeat. I couldn't really receive the restricting at this point. That was when I was younger. But, and my mind would say, you know, this time it'll be different. And then every day, even within the steps in those fellowships, I kept eating. And eating. And it was, you know, there was a heartbreakingness going on with that. So looking at this today, you know, we're having trouble with personal relationships. I will say that there's been a lot of growth there, but to hear this paragraph today, it just popped out at me. There are a few areas, especially in the other fellowship, where I have had some resentments. And I've told people, I've said, why won't this go away? Why do I keep doing inventory and praying for them or whatever else and following these directions? And what has recently been pointed out to me, and I'm going to flip to page 84, the ninth step promises. It says, the feeling of uselessness and self-pity will disappear. We will lose interest in selfish things and gain interest in our fellows. Self-seeking will slip away. Our whole attitude and outlook upon life will change. Fear of people and of economic insecurity will leave us. My mind, and it goes on, but my mind kept telling me, like, I've done my amends. I've done this. And when I went back, and I am in 10, 11, and 12, but went back, and I had someone help me catch this and say, really, are you really done with your amends? And we went back and we took a deeper look at it, and there are still amends to be made. And this is so hopeful for me to read this paragraph this morning, because I know the program works. I've experienced that. But it promises me that that part of the solution, other than 10, 11, and 12, is to make sure that my amends are cleaned up. And those promises through that process. So there's a lot of hope within even these, such a hopeless state and condition as we go through, and it will lead me back to the food, but the hope in continuing to look at 9 and then into 10, 11, and 12. So thank you.
Thank you, Mary Lee W. Deborah G., we've got about 1 minute, and Elena, we won't have you for today. So Deborah G., please go ahead.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you for chairing the meeting today and everyone that's made this meeting possible. And welcome, welcome to the newcomers. I'm so glad that you're here. And wow, you know, I remember going through the steps with my sponsor, and she got to this page, and I could see the reasons why I was doing what I was doing, you know, and she had me draw a circle. This is a Native American practice. A circle on a page. Inside the circle was all the things with this spiritual malady, unmanageability paragraph that were happening now. And outside the circle were the things that weren't happening. And it was just a beautiful thing to watch how the things outside the circle came into the circle after going through the steps and living the steps. And thank you all so much for your shares and 12-stepping me today.
Thank you, Deborah G. All right, we will now close with the reading from the big book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And I have Leslie M. Please read. Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Yes. Good morning, Donna. Thank you for your service. My name is Leslie M. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Long Island, New York. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. Teach with that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of spirit. And you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.